listening to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast. I'm your hostess, Monique Ramsey. Today, my guest is Janelle. She's a patient of Dr. Luke Swiston, and she recently had a bilateral capsulectomy and explant. In other words, she had her breast implants taken out. So when you get breast implants, I think the first thing they tell you is that they're not forever. Everybody eventually has to have them replaced or removed at some time in the future. So welcome, Janelle.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about why you wanted your breast implants taken out, let's go back to the beginning and sort of when did you originally get your breast implants? And tell us kind of at the beginning.
Sure. So I've had breast implants for 22 years. Oh. My first set of implants, I was 22 and they were saline. And it was just something, you know, as a young woman, I never really had any breast tissue that developed on my own. I was really thin. You know, in high school, I was told I had a figure like a little boy. And so there were all these things that led me into how do I look into having larger breasts? And in San Diego, it was really popular at the time. You know, I moved out here when I was 19, and it was one of those things that I started noticing everywhere that I went, kind of like if you wanted a Tesla, you see Teslas everywhere. So I'm like, you know, I was like, okay, I think this is something I want to look into. And I felt like I waited long enough to see if I could naturally develop. And I just wasn't one of those people that was well endowed. So
we talked about why you got them. You know, was it what you expected?
It was. And at the time I was ecstatic about it. You know, here I am. I walked in one version of myself and I walked out of there a different version of myself. And I did feel more confident. I fit better into clothing. You know, all of a sudden I wanted to show my body more. You know, there's a lot of things just as a young woman that I wanted to do that I didn't have the confidence to do before I actually had bigger breasts. So for me at the time, it was the right decision, you know, and I felt really good moving forward about it.
So when you went to exchange your implants from saline to silicone, was there anything going on at that time that you want or a reason why you changed them?
I wanted silicone because they felt a little bit more natural. I had friends at that time that were getting silicone that had never had implants before. And then of course, you know, you and your best friends, you're always like, let me see, let me touch, you know? So
right.
I was like, oh, I like the way yours feels so much better. In addition to that, my implants had, I guess they call it bottomed out. So they had dropped lower to where my nipple was then placed higher up and the implant was, you know, lower in my chest wall. So I did want to have them redone for that reason as well. Like, because I had a gap in the center also. And I think that's just because I'm a thin person. Mm-hmm. And so my body didn't want to hang on to them in the position they were placed to begin with. So yeah.
Yeah. And I heard something really interesting. So Dr. Lori Saltz, one of our surgeons, she was talking about saline and that bottoming out tends to happen more because the saline's moving all the time.
Right.
But sort of like that sloshing around is creating an effect that's continually putting stress on the tissue. And so that the fact that they end up sort of in a different spot can be partly because of that. I've never heard that before. And I thought that was super interesting.
Interesting. I've actually never heard that as well. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
So interesting.
So when did things start to change with your health?
So interestingly enough, I started to notice more and more symptoms around like 2018. Prior to that, I felt like I was experiencing symptoms, but not putting a connection with the implants. Because I think in my mind, I just felt like, well, you're supposed to have pain. You have something foreign in your body. This is normal. You know, you're supposed to have some type of discomfort. Anytime you're adding something that you weren't originally packaged with to begin with as a human, you're going to experience something, you know, some type of side effect. It just is what it is. But I don't think I started to put two and two together until 2018, because I'm in the fitness industry. I'm a fitness instructor. I'm really healthy. I don't take any medication whatsoever, not even birth control. And I eat really clean. I take all the right supplements. And I started to notice a huge decline in my energy level. I was fatigued more often. I wasn't taking a lot of naps. My eyes were dry. My mouth was dry. I would change my diet. I would take things out. I would add things in. I would speak to, you know, homeopathic doctors, all these things. And I was trying to convince myself it was not related to my implants, because I think the last thing I wanted to do was have to remove them. It's something that became a part of who I was. So I was trying to figure out all these things that it could possibly be. And then even thinking, so I think I work out too much. I think I exercise too much, you know, but it just started to get worse and worse and worse through the years. But I think 2018 is when I first started to really recognize like something's wrong with my body.
So then trying to feel better, like you mentioned, if you're trying to change your diet or talk to doctors, was there anything specific that some of the other doctors or homeopathic people had you do? And
nobody could come up with anything because I would do panels of blood work. Everything was fine. I had nothing really definitively saying this is what it could be. And it's really hard with something like BII because there's so many symptoms and it just, they seem so vague. You know, they could be attached to anything.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, how do you say this is what it is?
Right. How do you make that distinct correlation?
Mm-hmm.
What helped you make that connection? And then what process did you start to, I'm assuming you started to do some research or talk to people.
I did start to do a lot of research. I talked to a lot of people. I went down a lot of rabbit holes. In addition to that, I would say over the last couple of years, I got really spiritual with myself and really grounded in who I am. And I meditate a lot. I do a lot of activities that are really allow me to get internal with my body. And while I'm in meditation, I started to feel different things in my body that just led me to believe intuitively, as a woman, just intuitively, I knew what it was. It was like a brick just hit me one day. I woke up out of my meditation and I'm like, it's my implants.
Wow.
And it was so strange. It was like, I got an answer in the middle of a meditation. As foo-foo as that sounds, like that's the truth.
They say that's why you should meditate. Like a lot of stuff can come to you creatively or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And so at that point then, like you say, you went down a lot of rabbit holes. So where did you start to look for information?
I mean, I would Google, I got on Facebook, there's a breast implant illness group that's on there. You have to add yourself and tell them your story and then they invite you in. And I met a lot of people through there. Actually, that's how I found out about Swiston, was on a Facebook page. So I also posted on my Instagram, which I have like 10,000 followers. Doesn't seem like a lot, but to me, that's a lot because they're organic. So I'm like, I posted that I was considering getting my implants removed. And if anybody has any information, please contact me. And so I started getting a lot of messages, contact me numbers and things like that. So just putting yourself out there, you know, a lot of people want to kind of like not tell people what they're going through. And for me, I've always been an open book, like I said. So once I started to do research and put it on Instagram and people reach out to me, I started making those personal connections and having real conversations and finding that people were having the same problems as me post explant. So I was like, oh my gosh. And then I started getting all this information together and it just made so much sense. I immediately made like 4 consultations the day after I had that, a strong meditation and an answer.
Interesting. So right away you knew you had to take care of it. And so you found Dr. Swiston through that Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And were the other doctors that you spoke with also from that same group of people?
They were. Mm-hmm. I had consultations on Zoom. I had a couple of consultations before I even met Swiston. And for some reason, you know, when you just feel like something is the right direction to go without having have met Swiston, his name had come up so much through DMs on my Instagram and the Facebook page. And I was like, this is collectively a lot of humans that have been through him and had extraordinary experiences. So I want to, you know, make my consultation and set it up with him. And I actually put a deposit down before I even met him, which is even funnier, you know?
So when you're going through this process in your mind of like, okay, I'm going to consider these different surgeons. What kind of things were you looking for? Was it a checklist of clinical items or was it more the feeling or both?
Definitely both. I obviously want somebody that's experienced and I like referrals because I trust people with, you know, their stories and things. And I just, for me, I know if I'm going to say I had an extraordinary experience and I love this doctor, it's because I truly 100% do. So I had referrals. I looked into him. I, you know, read about him on his website. I love his story. And in addition to the staff being amazing and coming in and just having all of the T's crossed and the I's dotted. When I met him, he was one of the most human doctors I have ever spoke to. And so that's something that I look for. I don't want to just be a patient that obviously I can get implants taken out anywhere. We kind of know that. And yes, there's a difference with experience level and doctors, obviously. But when I meet a doctor and I just feel like I have no anxiety, I feel at ease, I feel like I'm safe. And when he walked in the room, I felt immediately all those things. So it was just like all the pieces came together in that moment. I'm like, this is the guy.
Yeah. Now, from that time of that consultation to your surgery, how much time did you book it right away?
I booked it right away, but it happened fast. It was like 7 weeks later. Yeah. So I met with him, I already had an appointment when I met with him. He didn't even know that. I was like, I'm already scheduled. So just based off of a feeling, an internal feeling.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So how did you feel in the days or weeks leading up to the surgery?
Oh, I was excited. I couldn't wait. It was like, you know, when you're looking forward to that vacation and you're just like, can the time move any slower? I was just kind of like, can we speed this up and just get to the surgery?
Uh-huh. So right after the surgery, usually the doctor, you'll be in recovery. And did he come in and talk to you at all? Do you remember?
He did. I actually, you know, when I came out of anesthesia, he was holding my hand. And then I had one of the other nurses on the left side. So he was on my right. She was on my left. And I felt like I was at home in my mom's house with like my family, you know. It felt really good. And I woke up and I took a deep breath. And I believe Swiston told me, take a deep breath, you know, like, how do you feel? And I felt so relieved, even coming out of anesthesia where you're partially conscious, partially unconscious. I felt different immediately. And it was just like a brand new me. It was better than walking out with implants when I was 22 years old. It was just such a huge awakening for me and a beautiful moment. And having them both on my side was even better. So
you're like all teary.
I know. It was so like I relive it in my head all the time. And I'm like, I want to go through that day again. Not really, but there's parts of me that's when I woke up, it was such a fantastic moment in my life.
Yeah.
Memorable forever.
That's so neat. So what did it feel like right after the surgery? Like the first 24 hours or the first few days?
It was so easy. I had my best friend fly down from Dallas and I had my husband taking care of me. The first day I was kind of in and out of just sleeping, but I never had to take narcotics. I wasn't in too much pain. I watched the sunset the first day that I came home from surgery. My best friend drove me down. I had drains in and everything. I was like, I just want to watch the sunset because I feel like this is a whole new life for me. And I want to watch the sunset on this first day of the rest of my life. Honestly, I was up walking around as much as Swiston's like, do not move your arms and do not do these things. I was like, he's like, stop talking with your hands. And I was like, that's the Italian in me. So I was trying to But it was such an easy recovery. I don't know if I was one of the lucky ones or if this is like this for a lot of people, but just felt like I had a really, really rough workout and I'm used to that. So
to help the audience picture.
Sure.
You go home, you talked about having drains. Mm-hmm. Is there a bra? Is there like bandages? What does that look like?
Right. So when you leave, you are in a surgical bra. It's not really tight. You have gauze where the drains are just to prevent anything from leaking or anything like that. The drains were connected to the bra. They were clipped to the bottom of the bra. So they're not really like mobile. They're not floating around, moving around. You don't have to worry about them. The most uncomfortable thing was the drains. It just because something is hanging out of your body, but it wasn't really uncomfortable. The bra was not tight. I wasn't bandaged. He recommended not be bandaged. And I appreciated that because I already came from a place where I had implants on my chest and I wasn't able to fully inhale. So the fact that I got to do that now, I was like, the last thing I want to do is be bandaged really tightly down. I wasn't really uncomfortable. You do have to sleep upright. So I think the most difficult part was the drains, obviously, and then sleeping upright because I'm a side sleeper.
Oh,
so I had to get really used to having a wedge under my legs and sitting upright, like a 45 degree angle. But honestly, you're so tired. Your body just went through some level of trauma. So you're sleeping a lot anyways.
Right, right.
So having that wedge, we got like this like whole kit on Amazon. It was like some memory foam, sleeping upright wedge thing. It was $99. Oh. I'm like, this is the best $100 we've ever spent. So
that's good. You know, really for a lot of surgeries that we do, we want people propped up, post up, you know, even if it's facial stuff because of swelling. And so that's actually let's get that link from you, what you got. And we'll put it in the show notes for people because you never know when you're going to need it. And those are the things that, you know, patients want to know the surgical journey, but they also want to kind of know like, what things do I need or what, you know, because there's so much out there. You'd rather get from, like you say, a personal recommendation, like, hey, this really helped me.
Yeah. I remember a patient that actually went through Swiss and asked or recommended to me to get a back scratcher, just a little wooden back scratcher with a little hand on it. And I'm like, a back scratcher? And she's like, trust me, because your range of motion is you're not going to be able to reach up and over your back. So, and if nobody's around to itch you or so that was one of the things that I loved. I've used that thing all the time.
That's awesome. I think when patients or people who are thinking about this, when they do their research, they'll learn about what's called en bloc capsulectomy, which en bloc is just means you're taking out the whole capsule surrounding whatever is inside, no matter where it is in your body, in one piece.
Right.
And so is that something that you wanted him to do?
I did. I didn't want any scar tissue in there whatsoever. I just wanted everything out in one piece because I had so many symptoms. I'm like, I don't know if I have a silent rupture in there. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that I want everything taken out of my body. I want a clean chest cavity. And I knew that going into it. Uh-huh. And, you know, there are doctors that will actually try to convince you don't need that. And I feel like it's those doctors that maybe aren't skilled in it. And so they try to convince people they don't need it. And it's not necessarily that something bad is going to happen to you if you leave that scar tissue in there. But for me, I don't want scar tissue in there that was formed from my implants. I just want everything out, you know?
Right, so, right. I've actually been in surgery watching the doctors do this and a couple different times, and it is unbelievably laborious. You know, it really is interesting to watch. And we have some videos, I think, in some highlights on our Instagram, but it was really eye-opening and to see. Mm-hmm. So I would think it takes more expertise and patience and dedication. What happens to the implants once they're out of your body? Do they send them to a lab?
The capsule goes to lab, I think, just to make sure that there's nothing cancerous or anything strange going on there, but the implants went home with me.
Oh.
Yeah. I put them in the freezer and I put them on my knees or on my...
Oh my God, that's so funny. So did they clean them off for you first? I assume.
They sterilize them. They put them in a little packet, you know, like a sealed surgical little bag, and they give them to you. And, you know, now my husband and I use them for our traps. If we get sore or something, you know, we just have fun with them.
The world's most expensive ice pack.
Yes. Yeah. Funny. They work really well.
Well, that's interesting. So now when the capsules went to the lab, you know, how long did that take to get those results back? And what were the results?
I didn't get contacted. I believe they contact you if they find something unusual.
Oh.
And so mine seemed to be fine. So my capsules were also paper thin, which again, a really skilled, experienced surgeon needs to, I mean, that's even more difficult.
Right.
Having
a
paper thin capsule. So
yeah, it's harder to remove all in one piece. Yeah. Well, that's, you went to the right guy.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
So when did you start to feel better? Like you were saying in recovery, but was it really that immediate?
Yes. I woke up and I started to feel immediately different with my breathing. I could expand my rib cage fully. I mean, I would say within like 2-3 days, I no longer had dry eyes. I no longer had dry mouth. My lymphs on my neck were really swollen, and that my face started to look really lean, and a lot of swelling and inflammation in my body started to go down. So I always had watery thighs, like not like really weird, but above my knee, I never had that like contour above your knee that normal people have. And my legs automatically just like shrank. My body got really small. It was strange. This happened within a week. It was just everything, all the inflammation started to just die down in my body.
Wow.
I used to take a nap every single day. I couldn't go through the day without sleeping. So I would teach in the morning, sleep all day, teach at night. And that was my life for years. So everything has changed for me. Something's happened immediately, and a lot of other things happen over the last like month or two. So it's been almost 3 months. Yeah.
Oh, so 3 months since your surgery.
Yeah.
Okay. So not very long.
Not very long.
Were you worried about what you would look like afterwards?
I was prepared for it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I knew what it would look like. And I also was really okay with it. I knew that I was going to end up with really small breasts. I didn't realize that I had any breast tissue. So I'm actually pleasantly surprised that I'm kind of on the cusp of a small B.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I knew that it wasn't going to be pretty right away. Your breast pockets are now empty. So it, you know, the skin is loose. That first week is really hard to see yourself in the mirror after you've had these like beautiful breasts for forever, you know, and you have to go into it with such a high level of self-love that your well-being is more important than anything.
And I'm assuming at your consultation with Dr. Swiston or at your pre-op or something that they showed you some other patients going through the same thing. So you sort of were able to visualize and maybe the Facebook groups too.
The Facebook groups. I had a lot of people send me photos. They would just like block out their nipples, you know, or put like a little circle over it. Yes, that first 2 week period, as the pec is trying to reattach to the rib cage and everything is trying to, you know, restructure in your body. Of course, it's going to not be the prettiest thing ever, but you just have to give yourself grace, allow that healing period and trust the process. And I take a picture every single week and the progress of my breasts every week is I'm happy now. So in two weeks, I'm going to be even happier. I know that, you know, so it's just kind of that slow progress of like, they look better every week.
And what did he tell you in terms of how long does that healing process go?
It could be 6 months to a year. Obviously people heal different. I feel like if they stayed where they are right now, 2.5 months later, I'd be stoked. That's how happy I am with the results. I'm already in bikinis. I'm already wearing low cut shirts. Like I'm not unhappy with how they are now. So in 6 months, I'm like, if they're going to get better and better, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, exactly. So when were you allowed to go back to work, i.e. work out?
Yeah. I went back a month after.
Okay.
I was teaching from the floor. So I had people, I'm a cycling instructor. So I had people ride the bike for me on the podium so that, you know, they can demonstrate for the class, like a demo rider.
Oh.
So from the day of my surgery, 6 weeks later, I got on the bike and I would ride intermittently. I'd get on and off and just kind of feel my body out. I would get sore, you know, obviously like my pecs were sore and I would do a lot of massaging at night. That's another thing, the massaging, you have to do it every single day.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Oh, every single day. Over the scar, the incisions, and even the breast tissue itself. So you have to help the collagen kind of reboot. But
and does that hurt when you're doing it?
It was uncomfortable at first, you know?
Yeah.
Because the incisions are, there's a little pain there associated with where you were cut into, obviously. And then numbness, you know? So it's kind of a strange feeling because you have pain, but then numbness in some areas. But your rib cage is really tender, especially under where like the old inframammary fold is. That was the last thing to stop being sore.
Oh,
strangely.
So a lot of people, when they've gotten their implants put in, was that inframammary fold. So right in the crease of your breast, is that where your original incision was? Or was it around the areola when you had the silicone ones put in?
In the areola. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I went through the nipple for the implant.
Yeah. Okay. And then when they took them out for the explant, it was underneath the breast.
Right. It's like
it had a new scar.
3.5 inch. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's lightened up. It's almost skin tone. It does get a little more flushed after exercising, but then it turns more skin tone again. So again, 10 weeks later, the incision is really clean, tiny, fine line right where your inframammary fold is. So it almost looks like a shadow. It's aesthetically kind of appealing because you're like, oh, I like a little shadow there. It's not that bad.
Well, and that, you know, scars mature over like by a year.
Yeah.
Now, was there anything that surprised you about the process that you weren't expecting?
I think seeing my breasts for the first time was, you know, you have that moment as a woman. For me, I stood in front of the mirror with my bra, you know, hanging off open and the gauze was removed and the drains were there. And your breasts look so flat and depleted and, you know, loose skin and everything. And I had that moment. I just looked and I cried at myself in the mirror because it was such a change, but I was so happy. So it was, I was crying for two reasons, you know, embracing my body for this point forward and just saying, oh my gosh, this is a whole new journey and all those things. And like really, really loving yourself in such a phenomenal way. I mean, I would never take that moment back. It was just, I think if anything surprised me in this whole journey, not to like pat myself on the back, but it was how well I processed the whole thing. It surprised me how well I took care of myself in the whole journey, you know, mentally.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a huge point, you know, and as human beings, when life events happen, a lot of times it's hard to rise to the occasion, but most of the time we do.
Yes, we do.
Most of the time we're stronger than we think we ever could be.
Yeah.
So that's really wonderful that, you know, you were at peace with all of it. And so getting back, because I could think that, especially with this topic, because there's so much sort of controversy surrounding breast implant illness, and there's probably a lot of misinformation out there. You know, when you go into some of these massive social media groups on Facebook, some things can be great, but other things might not be so great. And what advice do you have for people about the information that's being shared in these groups?
Well, first of all, I think the groups are really positive. I think they are there to help people who are feeling symptoms or not understanding their body and have a lot of questions. So I do think there's not a lot of misinformation. I feel like there's really good information. There's a lot of links that they drop and things like that. I think it's the best way to enter into a space where you feel safe. You're with like-minded individuals, most of which have already been through the process. The best way to start the process, to start the journey, if you're considering explant, if you're even questioning it, there's a reason you're questioning it. I feel like our bodies tell us things before our minds do. So if your body is starting to experience things and you don't really have answers, I think it's good to go down a deep dive and just kind of rule out different things.
Right.
And it may not be implant related, but at least you can kind of start to figure it out for yourself, you know?
Right. Now, what advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about an explantation?
I would say fully, wholly love yourself before you, you know, go into that and be prepared for it and give yourself a lot of grace as you're going through the healing stages, because it does take time. And it's such a beautiful process if you let it be that. I mean, it really is. Like, there's so many things we do as humans that allows us to elevate and become like a higher version of ourselves. So it's one of those things where you're going to be okay. You're going to be healthy. You're going to learn to love your body. I mean, I think the hardest thing is trying to dress myself, because a lot of things don't fit me the same. But if that's the worst case scenario for me, I'm doing fine. So you will get strong again. You will look amazing. You know, small boobs are just as fine as big breasts. So
yeah. Now, what advice would you give to somebody who's listening about how to look for a surgeon?
A doctor that will look you in the eye and you feel like you are more than a patient. You are in good hands. You are safe. And the conversations you have with the people from the minute you walk in the door, like for me, I would look for somebody that you feel excited to go through this journey with. And they're just as excited for you.
Now, how did you feel about the nursing team around you?
Oh, they're so supportive. They're so sweet. I feel like they're like friends of mine now. No, they're like there as part of your journey. You know, they're there with you.
I love hearing that, because I think most of us who work at the center, we do feel like a family. We call it a work family. And having that, you know, those connections with each other as coworkers, but then with our patients and seeing them go through it, it's exciting for us. It's a very joyful work environment because you're making a big positive difference in people's lives.
Right.
And so I love hearing that that translates as the patient, that you're feeling that same family vibe. Mm-hmm. So is there anything that we kind of haven't covered today that you might want to mention? Or
this whole journey has completely changed who I am. I feel joyous. I feel like I'm remembering names and things in my life, and my overall quality of life has improved in 10 weeks, and it's outrageous to me. So I wouldn't have changed this for the world. This was the right decision for me.
That's beautiful. I love that. And
yeah.
So thank you for sharing your story.
Of course.
This is so It's been a wonderful hour that we've spent together.
I feel like I'm like,
oh gosh, I wish I could come hug you.
Grab coffee. Or...
So that's wonderful. Well, we'll get that link in our show notes of the wedge.
Yeah.
And then I would love to share, if you'll share with us some, you know, maybe before and after photos of you in a swimsuit or just in your regular clothes. And
of course,
you know, kind of showing the new you on your new journey.
Yeah.
So for the audience today, if you're listening, you have any questions or want information about scheduling or financing or reviews or before and after photos, check our show notes. We'll have all those links in there. And then we want to ask you for a special favor. If you love our podcast and if you've learned something from it, if it's helped you make a decision, tell your friends, share it with your friends and write a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Good Pods, wherever you're listening. So we love reviews. If you look on our website, it's all about reviews. We want transparency and people to be able to read about each procedure and each doctor. And so for our podcast, we want the same thing. And if you have, you know, topic suggestions, let us know. So thanks again, Janelle. It was wonderful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and peace and love and all the things good, you guys.
Take a screenshot of this podcast episode with your phone and show it at your consultation or appointment, or mention the promo code PODCAST to receive $25 off any service or product of $50 or more at La Jolla Cosmetic. La Jolla Cosmetic is located just off the I-5 San Diego Freeway in the ZyMed building on the Scripps Memorial Hospital campus. To learn more, go to ljcsc.com or follow the team on Instagram at ljcsc. The La Jolla Cosmetic Podcast is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.